Last service of 2024. I know we have a lot of people out. We got some in Hawaii. We got some who are sick. They're all over the country right now. Amen. But I do know this. I have a powerful word to share with you today. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting off with verse 14. I'm going to go down through 21 here. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Who would that be? Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Say ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he has made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now go with me real quick. Go back down the road here to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The words are in red. That means Jesus is doing the talking. Amen? Matthew 6, 1 through 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites. Say hypocrites. Hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Say hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So I believe this. I believe I have a very timely word for here, Living Waters Chapel, and the body of Christ as a whole, all right, in general. Out of all the people in the world that call themselves Christians, because we have a lot of people that call themselves Christians on this earth, don't we? Everyone's a Christian, right? All right. So out of all the Christians, there are two kinds of Christians on this earth, all right? Now, as I bring forth this message, I want you to really just take to heart what I'm saying and try to identify yourself and honestly examine your heart before God today. All right, can we do that? All of us, amen? All right, number one, so you are either, get this now, you are either a, you heard me say before, a carnal Christian or you're a spiritual Christian. Now, a carnal Christian means that you're led by your fleshly desires. You're led by your fleshly emotions, right? And a spiritual Christian is one that is led by their born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit. Because where does the Holy Spirit live in the Christian? In your spirit, man, right? So here's how I want to break it down. It's carnal or spiritual, which you've heard me say before. But I'm going to put a little bit of a spin on this thing. Are you ready? Say spin it. Here's what we got. Are you either an actor or an ambassador for Christ? Are you an actor or an ambassador for Christ? See, Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. Now, here's where I'm getting the word actor from. Listen to this. The Greek word that's translated hypocrite is defined as this, as one who is play acting, reading a script, or one who puts on an act. Isn't that interesting? That's a hypocrite. Someone who's acting. So are you an actor for Christ or are you an ambassador? An ambassador is a what? A representative. Amen? An ambassador for Christ really has that heart connection with their heavenly Father. Amen? But an actor or a hypocrite doesn't have a heart connection. So that's why it's just acting. You're play acting. You're reading a script. It's head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. Are you following me? So our Heavenly Father is beckoning us to draw closer to Him. Amen? This is a pretty good message for the last one of the year, isn't it? I told you on Facebook and on Remind Me text that I'm giving you a message that's going to refocus us for this new year. Amen? So our Heavenly Father is beckoning us. He's calling us to draw closer to Him. He's calling us into a deeper commitment with Him. Listen to this, 2 Chronicles 7:14, in the Amplified Version. This Amplified Version is phenomenal. Listen to this. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, deny themselves, pray, seek, I like this word, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, or here it says, their lukewarmness in parentheses. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, are we really taking the words the Lord has been given us seriously? Is there really, this is a rhetorical question. Remember I talked about rhetorical questions? It's a question that's being asked that I'm not looking for you yelling an answer at me. I'm asking you for you to examine your own heart and life. Amen? Is there really a hunger in us, you, for the power of God in your life, personally and for us corporately here as a church? You know, some have doubt and unbelief in their heart about all this talk we talk about, a revival in this area, a move of God, a move of the Holy Ghost in this church and in this area. There may be some in this church and listening to me on the internet and around the world, that you're lukewarm in your spiritual walk with God. You know what lukewarm means? It means you got the talk, but you don't have the walk. Amen? What do we call that? An actor for Christ, right? Listen, the Word of God says in Ephesians 5:14, it says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, that is talking about a spiritual awakening. That's not talking about physical. It's talking to people who are alive already. You got breath in your lungs. If you're sitting here, you have breath in your lungs, right? This is talking about a spiritual awakening. Say spiritual awakening. Another passage in Romans 13:11 in the New Living Translation. That's a cool translation too. It says this, this is all the more urgent for you to know, listen, how late it is. The time is running out. Wake up, for your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, of course, that's talking about the completion of our salvation in Jesus Christ, right? The second coming of Christ, amen? Now, the real purpose, listen to me, the real purpose of revival, of a powerful move of the Holy Spirit is this. You want to know what the end game is for a move of God? It's not just for us all to have fun here and play games and all that. It's this is the purpose, to bring others into the kingdom of God. To bring others into the kingdom of God, and to recover everything that you allowed the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in your life in the past. When a move of the Holy Ghost happens, those two things will happen. You'll reach out to others and bring them into the kingdom, and you're going to take back what the enemy stole. Amen. Are you following me? Listen to this. When we fail to press in to God with a true, heartfelt commitment, with prayer and getting into His Word, listen, we could be hindering bringing others into the kingdom and getting born again. We could be hindering others from getting healed and delivered. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? The Word of God says this. It says if we hinder that process, if we don't sound the alarm with what's going on, that their blood will be on our hands. If we hinder that process. And listen, if we don't unify and walk in love toward each other and carry out that mission effectively. Say, I got to walk in love. Remember this. Don't ever forget this. Taking up our cross to follow Jesus Christ daily, it's a requirement as a Christian. It is Christianity 101. It isn't for the people that have been saved for years. It isn't for the mature ones. It isn't for the ones with the gray hair. No, no, no. It's for the moment you make Jesus Lord of your life. We're to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Amen. So it's not an option. We got to get that in our heart, all right? Now, I want to ask you a question for you to think about this week. What does it truly mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a disciple for Jesus Christ? You know, I recently saw there's this one actor who just got water baptized and got his minister license, and I'm watching, I'm like, oh, praise God. Then I just seen a recent interview of a movie he was in, and he was bragging about how he kissed a man in the movie. Hello, somebody. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? A lot of people call themselves Christians, but what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it truly mean to be a disciple? Amen? Like I say all the time, I could stand in my garage. It doesn't make me a car. You can come to church. It doesn't make you a Christian. It's what happens in your heart. It's what you do mostly, come on, outside of these four walls. I believe many in the body of Christ has lost the true meaning of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to truly be a disciple for Jesus Christ. Again, it's more than just attending church on a Sunday and on a Wednesday. Now, by the way, it should include that. It should include that because the Word of God says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we know it goes, so that's important. And I'm going to show you something in the Word that maybe you've never seen before about how important it is to be a part and a member of a local church fellowship, all right? But really, it's a 24/7 commitment. Amen? But for many in the body of Christ, it's turned into what's called dead religion, all right? And many are finding their satisfaction in and their self-worth, listen to me, in their service to for God rather than their personal relationship with God. Are you following me? Oh, this is so important. When our personal relationship with God suffers, all the things that we put our hands to in the midst of that, are you ready for this? The Word of God calls it a dead work. In other words, whatever you're doing without your heart truly being connected to Him, with the proper motives of doing it, it's called a dead work, and you earn absolutely no favor with your Heavenly Father. Amen? That's why you can do the right thing with the wrong motives and not be rewarded for it. Oh, come on, somebody. See, that is the danger of being consumed with your works of service or ministry instead of your heart being bent toward your Heavenly Father in a personal relationship with Him. Y'all with me so far? Come on, it's only 11:11. We got lots of time here. Got 9 pages. I'm only on 3. Sit back, get a mint from your spouse, someone next to you. All right? But that is why Jesus says that many will come to Him on judgment day and calling Him Lord, and He will say these words that you never ever want to hear. Depart from me, I never knew you. You notice that? He never knew you. What's interesting, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit's trying to reveal Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father to us all the time. So he's always trying to get our attention. But I find it interesting that on Judgment Day, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, you never had heartfelt conversations with him. Did you follow that? I never knew you. It didn't say you never knew me. Jesus said, I never knew you. Wow. So those people are the ones that have failed to abide in Christ. That's why you can never look at the success of a ministry as God's favor on your life. Because it comes down to your character and your holiness walk with him. Come on, somebody. So they become works-oriented. They slipped away from Christ in their personal relationship with him. And their love for other Christians. And listen to me. And they didn't even realize they detached from the heart of God. That's scary. That should scare hell right out of you. Right out of us. Amen? That is one of the biggest temptations in ministry and doing things for God. Is just simply being works oriented. I would rather, if someone doesn't have the right heart, I'd rather you go sit on the bench. Come on, somebody. I'd rather you say, Pastor, my heart attitude is not right now. And I don't want to do this without my heart being right. Are you following me? Oh. See, that can be a humbling thing when you bench yourself. It's real bad when pastor has to bench you. Ho! We don't want to go there, right? I don't like doing that. But on the other hand, if I see someone who's overwhelmed with life, it's not a punishment on them. It's, go take a break. Get your thoughts together. Get your heart together. You know, just focus on your walk with God. So, you know, there might be times I do that if I notice someone's really overwhelmed with life, right? It's not a punishment. It's, go take a breather. You've been doing a lot. You know, it's like a basketball coach. All right, come on out. You know, you're starting to, I can see the quality of your basketball playing is kind of going down. Hello, somebody. Yeah. I can kind of see the quality of your service, or, you know, you got lots on your mind. So just take a break. Amen. Is anybody picking up what I'm saying? Yeah, you are, aren't you? Y'all are smart. Now, so, yeah, even volunteers, like I said, in this church, beware of getting caught up in the works mentality and the neglect of your personal walk with Jesus Christ. That's the most important part. You know how horrible it would be for us all on Judgment Day to be up there, and God says to me, you noticed that person was struggling, and you let them keep going. Oh! You let them, as their leader, as their pastor, you seen them struggling. But you didn't care. You see what I'm saying? I care more about your soul than I do anything in this church, volunteer-wise. Are you following me? So it's so easy to get consumed with the work of the ministry, and at the same time, your heart can be falling away from Christ. And don't ever forget this. True ministry comes from an overflow of your relationship with your Lord, with your Heavenly Father. That's true ministry. That's when you're really going to be a blessing, is when it's an overflow. If you're trying to operate ministry on an empty tank, forget about it. You're going to be a wreck. You're going to be a tornado. You're going to do and say things you're going to regret saying and doing. It's got to come from an overflow of the heart in your walk with God, all right? Instead of being motivated by love and devotion to Jesus Christ, you become motivated by pride, self-promotion, and the praises of people. And then eventually your heart disconnects from your Heavenly Father, and you begin to walk and minister in a blurriness of pride outside of the boundary of love. So we always want to make sure we're always operating within that boundary of love. Amen? So what happens is, if you're not ministering from the overflow, you know what eventually comes in? Rebellion. Hello, say rebellion. Rebellion. And what started out as pure motives in ministering begins to shift to wrong attitudes in an individual. All right? When your heart disconnects from the heart of God, rebellion and every evil attitude will try to take its place. They literally fall into a deception of thinking that they're on God's side and doing the work of God, but they have literally become an enemy of God. Do you know it's possible for a Christian to become an enemy of God? It is literally possible. Think about this. To become an enemy of God. You think you're doing the right thing. You think you're standing up for God. You think you're hearing from God. All the while, you're destroying a church. Are you following me? The Apostle Paul, here, now I want to touch on something here. It's not very popular, but it's something in the Word, it needs to be said, that I felt the Holy Ghost wanted me to speak about. The Apostle Paul dealt with a person by the name of Alexander that started out right and pure, but then shifted and became an enemy of the Word of God and an enemy of the will of God. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Let me show you something here. This is sobering. This is very, very sobering. 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 18. And it says these words, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." So this guy Alexander, all right, this guy Alexander did so much damage and caused so much division in that church that the Holy Spirit through Paul, listen to me, he added even the name of Alexander in the Word of God as an example to the body of Christ for future generations. Oh, it's so quiet in here. Listen to me. Alexander did so much damage, the Holy Ghost seemed fit to put Alexander as an example in the Word of God. My goodness, listen to me. Paul was telling other Christians to beware of getting within that tornado of damage. Beware of that spiritual poison. Are you following me? Alexander was trying to turn people against Paul. Hello, somebody. Did you notice that? It said it right in there. This Alexander was sowing division and spiritual poison, trying to turn people against Paul, all right, or attempting to. And he was also, if you see in other parts of the Word, that he was, and this other guy, they were teaching things that shouldn't have been taught, things that were against the Word of God. Well, what happened was this, that Paul had enough of it and decided to expose Alexander to the church to stop that spiritual tornado from doing damage and drawing others into it and damaging other people's faith walk. Hello, somebody. So, go with me to 1 Timothy 1. God takes it very seriously when someone's trying to sow division in the body of Christ. Are you following me? Now, that's not an excuse if there's something really bad going on in a church. That's not an excuse to let bad things go on in leadership or anything. Are you following me?
Yeah.
That's not an excuse. But I tell you what, you start sowing division against God's appointed leadership who did nothing wrong. Oh, you're bringing judgment upon yourself. That's all there is to it. 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. Look at this. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected," look at this, "concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. of whom of Hymenaeus, and here's this Alexander again. Boy, this is how I don't want to become popular in the Word of God for this reason. Amen. Amen. And Alexander, whom I, look at this, this is very interesting. This is New Testament. Whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This is crazy, people. Okay, this is like the nuclear code for someone who's causing so much trouble. You tried everything else, and it didn't work. This is like the last option, nuclear code, how to deal with someone in a local church or body of Christ as a whole. Listen to this. So another piece of this puzzle is that Paul mentions Alexander and that other guy, Hymenaeus. Paul says that their faith suffered shipwreck. So number one, we know these two individuals were born again. Are you following me? These weren't unbelievers coming in and wreaking havoc. They were Christians, all right? That means they were their faith suffered shipwreck. That means they were doing and teaching things. I said they were doing and teaching things that were against the will of God, or you could say it this way, that were out of God's divine order for the body of Christ. Verse 20 mentions something very interesting that I mentioned. It said, Paul delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, the word blaspheme literally means this. When we think of blaspheme, we think of, oh, saying JC and taking the Lord's name in vain. But here's what it really means. Are you ready for this? It means to disobey God or to dishonor God. That's blaspheme. That's what blaspheme means. It's not just a swear word. Hello, somebody. In the bigger picture, make the scope a little bit bigger. It means to disobey God and to dishonor him. So what does it mean then to be delivered to Satan? You want to know what it means? Are you ready for this? Put your spiritual seatbelts on right now. To deliver someone to Satan means that you kick them out of the local church. I said it's the very last option. It's the nuclear code, very last option. Another word for kicking someone out of the church you may have heard before, it's called excommunication. You ever hear that word before? Say excommunication. A part of the excommunication process meant that they were not allowed in the services, they were not allowed in the gatherings, they weren't even allowed on the property. And listen to this, and not only that, but it also meant this, that the members of the church, are you ready for this? Cut communication off with that person sowing division and poison. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to me now. They're banned from services. You know, churches can do that because a church is private property. It's not public. Well, you can't kick someone out of church. Well, you sure can. You betcha you can. It's private property. You kick someone out, they come on, you can call the cops, they're trespassing. Hello. But I said, but that doesn't come very easy. This kind of discipline in the church. Are you following me? This isn't just because someone messed up or told one gossip lie. That doesn't mean you're, hello somebody, amen. All right, it means grace was extended. You gave them time. You talked to them. You did some, but nothing ever changed. And the poison's still seeping. So it meant also, again, that the people, the members, didn't feed in to their trash. Are you following me? That could go on social media. They post something that's terrible about a ministry or a church or something. Listen, ready? Don't put a love by it or a like. I know, you might feel bad for a person, but don't feed into it. There's a reason. Now, I can say this. In the 7 years I pastored full-time, I have never kicked anyone out of a church. So breathe. I've never kicked anyone out of the church. But guess what? It's a nuclear option. Are you following me? According to the Word of God, it is biblical. So obviously, excommunication, it's a last resort if a person is unwilling to change their attitudes and their evil actions. It's still an option to be used, but it's not taken lightly. Because, you know, whatever, if a person, they have a family, you take everything into consideration. But trust me, there comes a point where it's like, enough! Yeah. Enough! And you're doing it for this reason. Are you ready for this? Number one, to protect the flock, right? And you do it for this reason. It even says here that that person may learn not to blaspheme. You're hoping the main goal of doing it is this, hoping they repent. Are you following me? So you're not really saying, oh, I'm turning you over to Satan. No, what you're doing is saying, you're out of fellowship. We don't even want you here right now. You're a mess. You're stirring up things. Are you following me? You're doing things that is totally out of order, right? So sometimes that action needs to happen. Kicking someone out of a church for the spiritual good. Hello, somebody of the flock. And to wake that person up spiritually, okay? So, now here's what I want to tell you about this situation. Think about this spiritual truth. If getting kicked out or excommunicated out of a local church opens someone up to be delivered to Satan with the intent of learn their lesson not to blaspheme, listen to me. If doing that, if kicking someone out opens them up to the enemy, right? Then being in fellowship, connected to a local church, must be safe for you. Oh, you didn't get it. Are you following me? If kicking someone out means that they're continuing to open themselves up to the enemy, then staying connected and in right fellowship among the believers, it means there's safety among us. I don't know, you ever watch those things on YouTube? I do sometimes, where there's a innocent animal out alone, and all of a sudden all these lions come and just start devouring them. They circle them and devour. But if they're, listen to me, if there's an innocent animal out there in a pack, most of the time the enemy's not going to come and try to harm them. That's what a local church is like. We are a family. Amen. We're a family, and we need to pray for each other. We need to support each other. Amen. That's why it's so important to get the bad roots out that are trying to sow poison and giving place to the enemy in a local church. Are you following me? So it's not about being a tough guy as a pastor. It's not pushing his authority around. No. It's about the protection of the flock. Because guess what? I'm going to have to answer to God one day. And what he'll say, why did you allow that person to continue to do that? Why? Why did you let them stay in a position? Are you following me? With a bad attitude or whatever, right? So that's another reason why God tells us do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Because there's safety in numbers, there's safety in unity. Amen? So I found this statement online about church discipline that I thought was good and wise advice. Listen to this. Someone wrote this online. It said, church discipline is much neglected today, largely because professing Christians have adopted the persuasive attitude in a modern Western culture that says authority to determine right and wrong resides in the individual, meaning right and wrong for a local church, you know. Scripture, however, gives the church real authority, and the pronouncements of a church body are binding when they agree with God's word. Consider the ways in which you need to submit to authority, to the authority of in your local church. John Bevere, he said something. He said, unless the pastor's asking you to sin, that's the only time. If I'm asking you to sin, you have no obligation to follow what I'm saying. Are you following me? Now, anybody who knows me, I'm not trying to control anybody. I preach the word, and I want to live in it as an example to the people. Amen? But it's important. It's important that there is structure in a local church. Amen? Well, think about it this way. What would happen if you got hired at a business and you go into that business and you try to push your agenda over the owner of that business's? What would happen to you? You get fired. You get kicked out on the street quicker than you walk through the door. Why do Christians think it's okay to push their agenda over the leader that God has placed over that local church? Something to think about. Amen? It's out of order. Amen? And so the key is to have unity. We all want unity. Amen? Amen. Now let me get into my message. I want to share a key with all of you that will help you stay focused and not fall into the trap of becoming an actor for Christ, okay? In Acts 12, I'm not going to go there, but for sake of time, but in Acts 12, chapter 12, Peter, you know, was in prison. God sent an angel to deliver Peter out of prison. Y'all remember that? And in verse 11 is really interesting, that stood out to me. It says that God delivered Peter from the expectation of the people. Say expectation of the people. If you want to prevent yourself from becoming an actor for Christ, you need to be delivered from the expectations or the opinions of other people in your life. They have no idea what you're going through. They have no idea of the call on your life. Now, I'm talking about your life personally, obviously, all right? The expectations of a leader at a job or a church, obviously that's important. You need that. But what I'm talking about is the expectations of the multitude that you're going to try to bend to. You want to please. You're a people pleaser. We have any people pleaser? Oh, don't answer that. Ministers and volunteers, if you're going to try to please everyone, I guarantee you that it's just a matter of time until you become an actor for Christ in your Christian walk. As long as you are seeking to please the one whom you represent, Jesus Christ, you will continue to be a faithful ambassador and representative for Christ. Amen? It's when you give in to the pressure of all those opinions, the criticism of the people, that you fail to stay connected to the head. Thank God Jesus didn't waver. Amen? Because there's a lot of expectations from the multitude thrown at him when he was on this earth, right? But remember, we represent Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Don't ever forget this. I think some people forget this, and it's part of that statement I read from online. The kingdom of God is a theocracy, not a democracy. Are you following me? Theocracy means government by God. In other words, God's appointing that government. He sets authority structure in place for a reason. Amen? God's plan is very simple for the Christian when it comes to church. Go to the church. Are you ready for this? Go to the church that the Holy Spirit tells you to go to. Go to the church where you feel like you're being fed. Go to the church that you feel like you're being uplifted and energized every time you walk out the door. Amen? Go to that church and submit under that leadership and allow yourself to be discipled and pastored. To be led, right? Discipled and pastored. What is the point, really? Think about it. What's the point of attending a local church if there isn't any area of your life where you want to learn more or grow spiritually? Amen? I mean, let's face it. The times of growth in our life is going to be times of correction. Now, that doesn't mean it's Pastor James always pulling you in his office to talk to you for correction. No, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit correcting you through what's being taught. Amen. I mean, trust me, I prefer that your change comes that way instead of me calling you into my office. I really am a nice guy. I really am. All right? Those of you who know me know, right? But listen to this. But I said this before, and I'll say it again. If you don't trust your pastor where you're attending, one of two things is going on. Number one, God didn't call you to attend that church. Number two, you just need an attitude adjustment because he did call you there. What one is it? Figure it out quickly. Are you following me? Figure it out quickly and make the needed changes. All right? Amen? You see, like I said in one of my Facebook posts, there's no reason that a Christian should show up disgruntled to church because no one's forcing you to come here. No one's forcing you. You're coming on your own free will. Why would you want to come on your own free will and be miserable? Right? Why would you want to come and sit there like a sourpuss? Right? Come on, somebody. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you're trying to make a statement that you're not happy. You're trying to influence negatively the atmosphere of a service. You want to know what that's called? Witchcraft. That's called witchcraft. Listen, I'd prefer this. All right, okay, we all know we get in moods sometime, right? But if you're really in a mood and you're not feeling teachable, stay home. Stay home, get in your prayer closet, work it out with God. We'll see you next Sunday or Wednesday. Amen. Now, on the other hand, if you're in a mood, but you're still feeling like, I'm teachable today. I want to hear from the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Then by all means, we'll roll out the red carpet for you at Living Waters Chapel. Come on in. Amen. I mean, isn't that just common sense stuff, right? As a minister, if you are simply striving to be a people pleaser and avoid confrontation and conflict, you will never be a profitable minister in the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're imperfect people. Right? Does that shock you? We're imperfect people. So at times we're all going to need correction. Right? Pastor James needs corrections at times, needs attitude adjustments. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Nobody's Superman or Superwoman up in here. Amen. The fact is this, if you are truly striving to do the will of God, you will run up against opposition. And sad to say, a lot of that opposition will happen in your local church sometimes, in the body of Christ. Some are acting like an enemy of God and don't even know it. Of course, I'm not talking to anyone here. Right? I'm talking of Japan. No, I'm just kidding. No. It's all good. It's all good. Amen. I just like to crack that joke. So get God's plan for your life, be bold, and fulfill it. Amen. Now, so I ask you all today, as you're hearing this, are you an actor or an ambassador for Christ? One of the major things that separates an actor from an ambassador is their motives. Say motives. Your heart motive. See, a hypocrite conceals their true motives under the cloak of deception, right? The Pharisees thought they were fine with God. In fact, they thought they were on God's side. They thought they were doing God's business, but really they were self-righteous and prideful. Amen. They were always trying to justify their actions, and they were deceived into thinking they were just fine. And at the same time, they thought they were doing God's work while at the same time trying to come up with a plan to kill God, Jesus Christ. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? In fact, the Bible says, somewhere in the New Testament, is it Romans? Somewhere in there, forgive me, but it says in the end times, people are going to kill Christians thinking they're actually doing it for God. That is deception to the max. Amen? So when our heart is not right with God, we can think we're a friend of God while at the same time we're the very enemy of his will being done in our lives, in the body of Christ, in a local church. Amen? So an actor in the church is one who has head knowledge but not heart knowledge. They have not let the word of God penetrate their heart. There's a disconnect there. Amen. Now go with me to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, 1 through 4. You getting anything out of this? Yes. Oh, yes, you are. Someone was just watching and saying, no, no, no. Yes, you are. There you go. Called you out. There's a word of knowledge for you. Now, David knew what it meant to be an ambassador for the Lord. Amen. Psalm 26, 1 through 4. It says this, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." In other words, he's saying, check my motives. Make sure my motives are pure, right? Verse 3, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with," underline it, "hypocrites." Isn't that interesting? When our heart slips away from God, our heartbeat is no longer in sync with our Heavenly Father. See, that's where danger comes in. We need to be synced up with the heart of God. "Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation," Ephesians says. What? In the knowledge of you. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. If you pray for that and you're honestly seeking that, you're going to keep your heart beating with His and on the same path. Amen? So we do not want to become a hindrance to the will of God. All right? An actor or a hypocrite in the church becomes an ambassador or a representative, listen to me, of their own fleshly agenda instead of God's agenda. That's what an actor will do, right? That's when fleshly emotions get in the way of God's plan. I don't want to be in the way of God's plan, do you? Why would anybody want to do that? They don't. They fall into deception, though. Amen? They start to do and say things that come from their own soul and not from the heart of God. All right? Not from the Spirit of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 here. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. Just those two verses. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So an ambassador is one that is faithful, listen to me, to the one that he or she represents, and not of their own fleshly desire. You ever hear that phrase, die to self? You're dying to yourself, fleshly desires, your soulish desires, and saying, "God, what do you want me to do? God, I don't like this person very much. I want to do this, but God, what do you want me to do?" Amen? Every word, every thought, and deed is centered on the one that he or she represents. That is why Christians, the body of Christ, have been looked down on so much on this earth. Listen to me. Here's why. This is why the world looks down on us. Because we have a bunch of actors or hypocrites calling themselves Christians, which results in the world viewing the church as powerless and weak. Are you following me? Now, here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you about that. Are you ready for this? Remember this. Don't ever forget it. The world will not and the world cannot decipher. Listen to me. Between an actor and an ambassador for Christ. All they hear is this, you naming the name of Jesus. Are you following me? Listen, don't think the world's going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Are you following me? The world will not decipher. Come on, somebody. Between an actor or an ambassador. That's why silly people fall for these actors who say, "I'm a Christian," and then they go on stage half naked, promoting lust and drawing and doing satanic witchcraft stuff in their concert. Are you following me? So what happens is people start to say, "Oh, well, see, they're a Christian. It must be okay." Right? "Oh, Bieber, him and his wife, they're for abortion. Must be okay because they're Christians." Right. Oh, come on, somebody. The only thing the world sees is you naming the name of Christ and they attach you to him. Amen. That's how there's a lot of damage done with Christians on this earth. An ambassador comes with a demonstration of power. Are you ready for this? A Christian comes with a demonstration of the fruit. That's why Jesus said, You shall know them by their fruit. Amen. Say fruit.
Fruit.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, or in demonstration of that power, of living that new life. Amen?
Amen.
Not just a show, but it's a real thing. It touches every area of our life. The world wants to know this. You ready for this? The world wants to know this. Is God real? Is the peace of God real? Is the joy of the Lord real? Can I really be delivered from all of these bondages in my life? That's what the world wants. And we need to represent Jesus effectively for that. Amen? The devil, and I'm on the last page. Take joy. Listen. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen. The devil and evil spirits are looking for anything in our lives that would try to discredit Jesus Christ and the written word of God. They're looking for anything. Anything. We need to think about that before we do or say anything that would drag Jesus through the mud.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
How do we drag Jesus through the mud? By misrepresenting him.
Yeah.
By misrepresenting him. By being an actor and not an ambassador. I find it very interesting in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus talks about the characteristics of a hypocrite. And then he goes on. You know what? Jesus mentions hypocrites and some of the things about hypocrites. And then guess what he talks about after that? Prayer. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6 as we finish this thing out. Matthew chapter 6. Let me show you something here. If you let your prayer life slide, if you don't have much of a prayer life, guess what? It's just a matter of time until you fall into the actor portion, okay? Matthew 6, 5 through 8, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites or the actors, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. So we know hypocrites, they just love the praise of people, right? Their motive is to get praise from people. Remember, it all comes down to motive. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, who? You ambassadors for Christ. Not actors, ambassadors. But you, ambassadors, I'm going to say, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Now, this doesn't mean that anytime you pray, you got to be locked away from people. Are you following me? It's talking about your heart motive. That's what it's talking about. Amen? Go into your secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. So we know there's another one, vain repetition. For they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In other words, he's saying, look, don't tell me something I already know. I'm more interested in that heart connection. Are you following me? Now, so Jesus is talking about that motive. Like I said, hypocrites love to be seen and heard. They love the praises of men. Ambassadors are hungry to know their Heavenly Father more and more, all right? And to seek and to please him. Now, if you'll notice this, real quick, I just want to read this and I'm done. The Lord's Prayer, say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer holds some very important key points that will safeguard us from becoming an actor or a hypocrite if we take to heart what Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer. Look at this, verses 9 through 15 as I'm closing here. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see God as holy. You see him as holy. Boom, you made a great heart connection by knowing he's holy. Amen? Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a little bit different from a hypocrite, right? God, we want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I'm not relying on myself. God, you need to help me every day. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. An ambassador will walk in forgiveness. Amen. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You're giving glory to God. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that is a prayer, listen to me, that will help us to become and remain faithful ambassadors for Christ. Again, if you walk away with anything out of this message, is this: an ambassador maintains a heart connection with their heavenly Father. So church, it's time to press in and seek the heart of God, the face of God, with our whole heart, personally and corporately, Living Waters. Amen. Let's represent the Lord Jesus Christ accurately by committing every area of our lives to Him and proclaiming the gospel message to the world. We must remain faithful ambassadors for Christ. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, ambassadors, ambassadors. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You're not an actor. You're not an ambassador. In fact, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come forward right now and pray with one of our prayer team members here. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Do not leave earth without Him as Lord of your life. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here. You want to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe this message really hit you and you said, you know, wow. Okay, Holy Spirit's been speaking to me in this message that maybe there are areas of my life that I'm not truly open to the Lord. You know, maybe I've been doing more acting than ambassadoring, if that's a word, right? And today I want to become that ambassador. I want to regain that heart connection. If you want that, come forward right now. Just pray with one of the prayer team members. It's good to pray. Let someone pray for you, amen? Number one, to kick it all off, it's a sign of humility. Say humility. Humility. It's humbling when someone else is praying, when you go to someone and say, I need prayer for this, amen? That's surely a prayer that God's going to answer, amen? Now, maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. Maybe you never prayed in tongues and you want that experience that Jesus talked about, that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. We'll pray with you. If you need prayer for anything else, it's open and they will pray with you for whatever you need. Make sure it's in line with the word. Amen? Well, I guess we'll see you next year. Have a great and a safe week. Enjoy time. Aren't you guys enjoying time with family? I think it's good. Amen? I think it's good. I think it's pleasing to the Lord that we do cancel these things and spend time with with our family and friends. And it's a time of refocus, to reset. Amen? We all need a break. Amen? All right. I love you all. Have a great week. Come on back next year. Love you all. God bless you.